It is good to see all of you here this evening. Certainly thankful for you to present your bodies as living sacrifices and come out on a Monday evening and listen to the Word of God. And we hope and pray that when we leave here, we're a little better fundamentally grounded in understanding the will of God and what He had planned for us. It certainly is an honor and a privilege to be standing here at Menlo this evening and taking the position that I have and having the opportunity to proclaim the Word of God to all of you. And I certainly am thankful for all y'all's time and desire to serve the Lord like you have this evening. I had an opportunity to do something that most gospel preachers don't get to do prior to gospel meetings. And I was blessed with the opportunity to come and door knock this area. I had about 2 months of door knocking here. Made it to several hundred homes while I was here. And I got to learn something about this community around here. Learned many things, met many nice people. One thing I can learn, there wasn't one door that I can recall that I knocked on that wasn't an extremely religious door. I met many people in this community, door knocking it, that certainly knew who God was to some degree and certainly loved God to many degrees. And it was good to see that. And this sermon that I have prepared this evening, a study that we're going to talk about, is faith in Scripture. This is one of the most basic fundamentals of Christianity that there is today. If we can't understand the basic belief system that God has provided us with, then we are going to fall short of the glory of God. One of the sisters said as she was walking in here that I believe should have been a saying on the front of the building. She said, "It is hot today, but that ain't the heat we should be worrying about." That's a good saying. That ought to be on the front of every congregation there is in the world. We need certainly be worried about the other type of heat than the sun's given us. We should understand something about faith in Scripture. Before we can even begin to believe in God, before we can even begin to have an opportunity to go to heaven, we got to have faith in the Scripture that God has given us. We have to have belief in it. We have to have trust. We have to have hope in the Scriptures that God has given us. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to John for me, chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 1 for a moment. Without faith in the Scriptures, one cannot begin to obey the will of God. Part of God's will is the plan of salvation and our obedience to it. There are some things that we so commonly don't look at and some things that we take for granted. We take for granted we know what God wants without actually looking at it to see. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 35, he says, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother." It's a blessing. It's a unique opportunity for mankind to be able to be a part of God's family, to be considered like that. But in order for us to do that, we have to be willing to obey Him. It's not a matter of we get to go to heaven. It's how we see things, how we perceive things. Whether or not we get to go to heaven is whether or not we obey the will of the Father. And in doing so, there's been many promises promised us. But there are three scriptures in mind that I wanted to pay particular attention to this evening. And if I want you to understand that if you fail to understand these three scriptures, it will be absolutely impossible for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I know those are strong words, but they are as true as I'm standing up here today. I wish that we could have more people in this world out proclaiming these three scriptures, saying, "Pay attention to these, look at these, understand these. You must know what they say. John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is essential that you understand that Scripture. It's essential that you know that we have God in our presence today. Right here. There's the Word. Every time you flip this book open, you're reading God's Word. You should understand that He gave this Word to us for a reason. Nothing's going to give Him greater pleasure when He makes His decision on Judgment Day to have His children to come up there and be with Him. Those children who loved Him so much, who took the time out of their days to study His Word, to pay attention to what He wanted us to pay attention to and live our life the way He wanted us to live it. The second Scripture I want you to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It's essential that we understand this Scripture. Now what I'm doing here is laying the basic groundwork to what it takes to not only become a Christian, but to how to stay a Christian and stay in God's good graces. Now we just talked about John chapter 1. We must understand that the Word that He's given us is God. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17, there's something else we must understand. He says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And if you've ever had the opportunity to study this passage, which I hope you have, you'll understand that inspiration means God breathed. Gives me cold chills just thinking about it, how God breathed this Scripture into existence. How powerful that is. Look at these thousands of pages you have contained here. 1,040-something, 1,060-something pages you have here in your Bibles. Oh, it's a wonderful opportunity to know that God has blessed us with His Word and His presence. But not only that, He had more to say in 3:16 and 17. When He said all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, He also said that it was profitable for doctrine. He also said that it was profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be thoroughly equipped. We will have everything we need here in the Word of God. How are your meditation skills? Are we good at meditating? Do we understand what meditation is? Do we know how to take time in our busy lives to set aside some personal time between you and God and His Word and studying it and meditating on passages? Thinking these things through, applying these Scriptures to your everyday life. If I asked each one of you today, which don't raise your hands, but if I asked you, I said, raise your hands this evening if you have faith in the Scripture. I feel confident that everyone in here this afternoon would quickly raise their hands and say we have faith in the Scripture. But I hope you got some good shoes on, because I'm probably fixing to step on your toes rather quickly. One of the greatest problems that we have in mankind is that we're lazy when it comes to studying the Scriptures God has provided us. We do not take the time to sit down and find out exactly what it is. Door knocking this area, I encountered some very interesting people. I got run off many porches as well. One of the prominent fellows here in the community who holds the title preacher, who run me off his property. Never even given me the opportunity to proclaim His Word. Never even had a chance. Told him where I was from. Not giving me the opportunity to study with him. To see why we have so many differences. To see exactly what are the differences. If you ask me, that's a failure in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Oh, there's no doubt. We have all types of religious bodies out here in this world. We have no doubt that people strongly and sincerely believe in these things are good people, moral, good, upstanding citizens who would give you the shirts off their back, who would do anything in the world for you except study the Word of God with you to see why there's a difference in the things that's being taught and in the things that we believe. Do we have faith in the Scripture? One of the other Scriptures that I want you to take a look at was 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This is the third Scripture I told you that we fell at miserably here, mankind. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed." And look at the last little part, that clause that's attached to the end of that Scripture. "Rightly dividing the word of truth." I asked you a little while ago if you had faith in the Scripture. And I told you there's a good probability I'm going to step on your toes. I'm gladly to do that because that's how we're going to learn. That's how we're going to understand how sin keeps creeping in to our congregations, how sin keeps creeping into our communities, because we're not getting the Word proclaimed. We're not getting the Word stood upon like it should. And we are not studying to show ourselves approved unto God. It's unfortunate that most people in the congregations, when you ask, "Could you explain to me in detail the plan of salvation?" And it's just like you ask them the greatest question and the greatest mystery in the world. "Well, I don't know. I know it has something to do with baptism, but I don't really understand why. I know it has something to do with confession by mouth, but I really don't know why. I know it has something to do with belief, faith. I know it has something to do with being faithful until the day you die, but I really can't explain to you why." Now, when I asked you if you had faith in Scripture, ask yourself, check your own consciences, and see if you're able to explain the plan of salvation. And I call this out because this is the basic, most fundamental thing it takes to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We've been baptized into Christ. We're going to get to enter into heaven if we stay faithful until the day we die. These people must understand this. It's in the world. We must not be afraid to carry this word into the world. We must not be afraid of confrontation. We must be prepared to preach the word of God. We also must be prepared for those people who will not hear it. That's a sad and unfortunate truth, but there's many people that will not hear it. But we can certainly be studied up enough. The more we practice, the more techniques we build, the more homes we door knock on, the more comfortable we get with speaking, the more greeting people and talking out loud, telling people how much you love them, all these things add up, making us better Christians. But if you don't have faith in the Scripture that God's given you, you're never going to make it. I want to dig for just a moment a little bit deeper into faith. Faith is a term that's used today loosely. It's used for many reasons and generally not for the reason that it was actually given for us to use. The Greek word for faith, when you look in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, is pistis, which means belief, trust, and hope. Paul defined that in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Don't all of us have a hope to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven one day? Isn't that what we want? Don't we want to have our robes spotless white as snow, as it reads in the song books that we sing for an invitation song? Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what we long for? Don't we want that? In order for us to obtain that, though, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, he said, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the word of God." When Cain made the more excellent sacrifice, when Abel made the more excellent sacrifice, he done it by faith. He heard the word of God. God told Abel what type of sacrifice he wanted him to make. He told Cain also what type of sacrifice he wanted him to make. But because by faith, when Abel listened to what he said and done what he said, he presented the more excellent sacrifice. What kind of sacrifices are we making today? We say we have faith in Scripture, but how many services do we miss because we just don't feel like going? When God said, "Don't forsake the assembling of the saints." Why is our knowledge in the Bible so weak when we say we have faith? When God said, "We must study to show ourselves approved unto Him." Why is it there's so many hateful attitudes in the world and in the Lord's church when we say we have faith? Why isn't enough kindness being shown in the world and in the Lord's church when we say we have faith? There's a lot of growing spiritually we must do on a daily basis. When we go to bed in the morning, in the evening, and when we wake up in the morning, start our day off with a prayer to God, asking Him to give you the strength and the knowledge to do a better job than I just did the day before. And then the next day when you wake up, you ask for even more to do better than the day. And you continue that process until the day that you die. It will certainly help your relationship and your family standing with God. None of us never want to be considered the black sheep, do we? About every family we have, especially when you have a big family, you got brothers and sisters, and there's usually always one that's considered the black sheep of the family. The one that just won't go with what the parents have said to do. They end up dressed in complete black with their faces painted white, or maybe they just don't listen at all. See, don't touch the stove, it's hot. They touch it anyhow. It's unfortunate. Some people are going to have to learn on Judgment Day the hard way. It's really unfortunate. The apostles in faith. The apostles played a big role in our faith today, in our ability to have faith in the Scripture. They've done many things. One in which they gave us the opportunity to believe in the Old Testament. All through the New Testament, if you'll look, Jesus and the apostles used the Old Testament many times to prove their points. They used it to prove that Jesus was He. The prophecies that came from the Old Testament, the apostles pointed these prophecies out in their day and showed them people in those times. Look, the prophecy said this was going to happen. The prophecy said that Jesus would come in on a donkey. There He is on a donkey. He would have great power. And look, He does. He's able to heal. He's able to work all these miracles. Look at that man there that's filled with the demon, and He just cast him out. When all the other people's chants and this and that they were trying to do failed. These apostles give us a wonderful example to live by. One that America, in particular, takes advantage of every day. America's amazingly ungrateful in many cases today for the cause of Christ. Here we are, a country with the freedom to speak anything that we want to, and we do less speaking for the cause of Christ than we do anything. We're too busy being busybodies here and there, as Paul puts it. Here and there. Are we going to let those apostles die in vain? Do we have enough scripture to do the same thing the apostles did? Do we have enough faith to go to our death? Look at poor Peter, the way he was crucified. Look at Stephen being stoned to death. Imagine what kind of pain that was. Could you imagine being hit by the first rock? Well, most people today, when that first rock hit them, say, I changed my mind. Never mind. This wasn't as good an idea as I thought it was out proclaiming the gospel. Because that hurt. That was painful. Because we fail to recognize one single solitary point. No matter how hard you can get hit with a rock here on earth, no matter if somebody walks up with the biggest blowtorch in the world and hits you with it, it will not compare to what's going to happen on Judgment Day. We get weak. We forget the times that those poor Christians went through when they was being persecuted for no reason. People bearing false witness on them saying, Christians are the ones that burnt down the city. Kill them. It's their fault. When John was put out on the Isle of Patmos, when he was writing the book of Revelations, that time period that they was going through, that persecution, being hated as they were, but yet they held in there, they fought the good fight. Look at poor Apostle Paul. Oh, he certainly made many mistakes when he was Saul, but after he was converted, he picked that cross up, and no matter how heavy that cross got, he carried it. He faced many of bad things in his time, but he stayed faithful. He wanted that crown. He wanted to be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He fully understood what down below meant, hell, as we perceive it. We need to understand something else about faith. Faith is not a matter of opinion. One of the greatest arguments that people present today when we try and study the Word of God is, well, that is your interpretation, or that is your view. John chapter 1 and verse 1 said the Word was God. Alright? Don't tell me my God is up for interpretation. When he said, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved, he meant he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. That's not up for interpretation. If you interpret that differently, you just don't want to get wet for the right reason. Faith also is not built on emotion. We have all types of emotional people in this world. We get emotional, don't we? Men and women, husbands and wives, they get emotional all the time. Sometimes we get on each other's nerves a little bit and we might pitch a fit. Well, that's certainly not for the cause of Christ. What about Adolf Hitler? He was certainly an emotional character. He certainly believed in what he was doing. That's not going to get him into heaven. In Proverbs, they said, there are ways that seems right to the man, but in the end, is death. Just because something sounds good to you don't mean it's right until you've checked it against the Word of God. If you have faith in the Scripture, don't trust anything the preacher standing up here saying. Don't trust nothing that I say. Take everything that I say and you go back and put it with the Word of God and see if it's in perfect harmony with it. And if it is, then you know that's what you get to go out and tell the rest of the world. Yeah, that's how that works. That's another problem that many people have today, is they're not willing to to check what's being taught and preached against the Word of God to make sure it's correct. Another thing about faith. Having faith in the Scriptures answers three important questions that we ask today. One of them being is, where did we come from? Well, the first verse in the book will tell you that. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Well, that's who created it. When you get on just a little bit further, He will tell you that He also created man. Just a little bit further, He'll tell you He created the woman. Just a little bit further, He'll tell you He created the marriage. Just a little bit further, He will tell you He told them not to take of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Oh, as you read that book, when you get from the beginning to the end, you can grasp all kinds of knowledge if we take the time to read it. Another question that's commonly asked, where are we going? So where are we going? I know who created me now because God said so. So where am I going? Turn your attention to Matthew chapter 7 and verses 13 and 14. When He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now, to the common man whom does not study very well, that might be a little bit confusing in verse 13 when Jesus spoke those words. But our great master teacher, He knew that. So He went ahead and broke it down just a little bit better for us so we could have better understanding here. He says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be that find it. I was told once in a conversation, do you actually believe that God would destroy everyone in the world? Lady was very upset with me when I was preaching Jesus about this. She said, do you actually believe? I said, ma'am, He's done it before. And it's His world. I certainly believe He'll take every soul out of here that don't obey Him. So that's what the Scripture says. I have faith in that Scripture when He says that. He took everybody out of the world once and left 8 people with the flood. He said He'd never destroy this world again by water. And He gave the rainbow for that promise. But He certainly said He would destroy this world again. And it is coming one day. And that's a foot race that we're in that we quickly forget about when these things ain't getting reminded every day. We're in a foot race against time. Clock started counting down on the day of Pentecost when Jesus ascended back into heaven. It was understood that we were on a countdown. And when He came back this time, it's over. We're not going to have 8 people left here on earth to rebuild again and have another opportunity. He's not going to come down here and give another opportunity to build another kingdom here on earth. That's not what He said. He said, it's over. This world will be destroyed. I'll go ahead and start concluding now. I'm running out of time. I hope that all these things here we can put in proper perspective. I hope that we can get a good understanding of those three scriptures that I had named in the beginning. And I hope that you wrote them down. John chapter 1 and verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. I hope that you'll go home tonight and for the rest of your life meditate on those three scriptures. Because when you meditate on those three scriptures, you're going to learn that this word here is God. When you take 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 to heart and you understand how you got to study to show thyself approved unto God, then you're going to learn that all this scripture was given by the inspiration of God. This scripture is how you live your life. This scripture is the way you act. this is how you're going to run your life. They call this a gospel meeting. Taking care of business. Because certainly a lot of business needs to be taken care of when it comes to proclaiming the Word of God. One last thing I want to say about faith in the Scripture. It takes a soul sitting out there hearing the Word of God that has a good and honest heart. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, he wrote, "But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Now this came from the parable of the sower. When you put the seed out, as I have put it out this evening, a good and honest heart is what's considered the good ground. When that seed goes into the ground, it will have a good root foundation. And it will sprout up and it will produce fruit. I hope we can understand that. I hope we can take that home with us and ponder on that tonight and tomorrow and forevermore. What that actually means. There's many other things dealing with faith. I wish I had about 2 weeks to stand up here and just talk on this one subject. Because I certainly have much, much more that I would like to talk about. There's many things, but trust in the Word of God. Brother Kelly picked a song that says, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling." He's called you with the Word that He's given you. It's so simple to obey the Word of God if you're willing to set the worldly things off to the side. If you are willing to present your body as a living sacrifice to Him who gave you the greatest gift that could ever be given to mankind. He freely bestowed His grace upon us. He said, "If you want to come to me though, you're going to have to believe in my Word." He said, "But there's going to have to be some changes made in your life as well." He said, "Repent, or ye shall likewise perish," in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. Do we understand what confession by mouth is? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. If someone asked you that question, to be baptized, and you say that, you get to go to heaven. If someone asked you that in a perilous time when your life depended on it, and you didn't give that same answer, it would cost you your soul. That's an important question to be asked. That's an important answer that you must give. Yes, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Then when He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." And notice this little three-letter word. "For." In the Greek translation, that would be "ace." Looking forward. "Unto." Never looking behind. He said that, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Remission means forgiveness. If you want forgiveness of sins, you must repent. You must be baptized. That's what the Holy Ghost said through Peter on the day of Pentecost in the first Christian sermon that was ever preached. That's not changed today. He didn't come back later on and rewrite the Bible and say, "I changed my mind. We're going to do something different." No, we still must change our life. We still must be submersed underwater. And then you've got that Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 always hanging over your head. But don't ever look at that a bad way. It is a hard fight to stay a Christian. We're going to face many trials. We're going to face many tribulations. But you got to keep faith. You've got to remain faithful, as said in Revelation 2:10, until the day you die. And He said He would give you the crown of life. The next time you preach someone and proclaim the Word of God to someone, and they say that you don't have to remain faithful, take them to that scripture in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 and remind them that it says, be faithful until the day you die and you'll receive the crown of life. That it does not read, just stay alive until the day you die and you'll receive the crown of life. We can't rewrite the scripture. The last thought God ever left us with in the Bible was, do not add anything to and do not take anything away from the Word. Revelation chapter 22, 18 and 19. If there's any of you who need to take care of anything tonight, if you have realized tonight you possibly haven't had as much faith in the Scripture as you thought you did have, and you need to repent of that and you need to change your ways, if there's burdens that's on you that you need prayers, confessing these things to your brothers and sisters, come forward and take care of those things. And if you have never been baptized into Jesus Christ's church that He came and died on the cross for, then take care of that tonight too. We can arrange that with no problem. If there's anything that needs to be taken care of, do it now as we stand and as we sing.
Salty and tender breeze.